Thank you for downloading the East Haven Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit easthavenchurch.org. Now, please join Pastor Kevin Reiser as he brings us this week's message.
Let me ask you a question. Sang good music, got all excited. Now what? Now what? Gave Jesus a round of applause when everything was done. Now what? In here, we feel empowered, don't we? The question is, what happens when we walk out the doors when the day is done? What happens when we leave here and we go back to the real world and family trouble and financial trouble and struggles at work and all of those kind of things rear their ugly head and punch us in the face? We find it hard to cheer and celebrate. Yay, Jesus! My wife and I really don't like each other right now. Thank you, Jesus! My children are the bane to human existence right now. Oh, Jesus, you overcame, but my boss is a real idiot right now. Careful there. This is recorded, man. I'll not call you by name unless your boss download the podcast. We sing and we get all cranked up and we listen to the radio. And then the reality of life comes in and goes, ha, 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 ha. And we're like, yeah, you're right. Ha-ha. I can't wait till Sunday gets back here so Doug can sing us back into a fervor again. Why does our spiritual journey have to be like that? It shouldn't. It shouldn't have to be like that. Paul writes some great, incredible words in Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to use Colossians chapter 2 for the next several weeks to talk about deepening our spiritual roots. Just getting to a place in our spiritual journey where we can feel like we are anchored to something. Where we can feel like and know, not just feel, but where we can know that there is a depth to who we are and to how we are. Because I think most of us really struggle with that on some level. And we do so for a lot of reasons. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, just two verses. But here's Paul's encouragement to the church at Colossae. Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." Let me repeat that. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The Apostle Paul boils it down in a pretty simple fashion, and he says, look, this isn't that hard. But to us, it feels like it's very hard. Paul says two things in verse 6 that I want to talk about today. The first thing the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 6 is, just as you received Christ Jesus, your Lord. How did you receive Christ Jesus to be your Lord? Well, the process there is not complicated either. The process is, at some point, you recognized, you understood that you were a sinner. And because you recognized you were a sinner, you recognized that you did not have access to God or to His goodness or to His forgiveness or anything. Because your sin keeps you away from Him. But with that revelation also came the understanding that but Jesus died on the cross. He received the penalty of my punishment in His broken body, the bread of the table. And He shed His blood to establish a new covenant. And His blood was the atonement on the altar. So that if I will make a conscious choice to believe in Jesus Christ and to belong to Jesus Christ through the work that He accomplished on the cross, then I have my sins forgiven and I am now established as a follower of Christ, just as you received Jesus Christ, Paul says. And that's how you do it. If you've done it by any other means, if you say, well, I received Jesus when I got baptized, you're still lost. If you say, well, I received Jesus when I joined the church, then you're still lost. If you say, well, I got Jesus in my heart because my parents made sure that I got Jesus in my heart, no, you are still lost. Your parents can't help you. Paul says, just as you received Jesus, recognize you're a sinner, recognizing what Jesus did on that cross, and making a conscious choice to believe in Him by faith, to by faith believe in that Christ, then you're established. You're established with Christ. two things from this morning's sermon I want you to get. The first thing is that by that grace I am made alive. It is that moment when my life starts. It is by that gift of God, His Son, that I am made alive. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. And Paul says, here's how you do that. You make that choice. Just as you became a Christ follower, just as you chose to believe in Christ Jesus. But here's where we mess this up. There's a second thing Paul tells us in here. He says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. And this is where we get messed up. We accept Christ by faith in believing Jesus is who He says He is. He did what He said He was going to do on the cross, and that is sufficient for the forgiveness of sin. And most of us stop there. And most of us think that now we have to have this litany of things added to our cycle in order to go deep. That's not what Paul says, Colossians. Paul says in Colossians, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Newsflash, people. Going deep, taking it to the next level spiritually, is as simple as waking up every morning and going back to that moment where you encountered Christ the first time. Waking up every morning and going back to that place where you make a conscious choice. Jesus, I remember several years ago, or several weeks ago maybe, when I recognized I was a sinner and I asked You to forgive me of my sin. And it was at that moment I was born again, and praise God for that moment. But this morning, as I wake up and as I start my new day, I'm going back to that same place. And Jesus, because You've already forgiven me of my sin and covered me with the blood of Your forgiveness, I don't have to accept You into my life again. But today I'm coming back to tell You that I reaffirm that commitment and that decision that I made. And today I choose to live the rest of this day based on the power of that day. And that's the commitment you make to start each day. And when you make that commitment to start each new day, that is how you begin the process of going deep. Putting in significant root systems. We've so convinced ourselves that we have to change and become somebody totally different or something completely new. You may already know the song. But not only by God's grace am I made alive, but secondly, by God's grace, I am made to thrive. And I am made to thrive based on who I am. Kobe Calais did a song a few years ago entitled Try. And the message of the song is kind of a sad one, but it's very real. Some of the lyrics read like this. Go ahead, run the extra mile. Gotta stay slim so they will like you. Do they like you? Go ahead, get your sexy on or take it off. This is what you want. You want to belong so they will like you. But do they like you? Get your shopping on at the mall. Max out your credit cards. You don't have to choose. Just buy it all so that they will like you. Do they like you? One of the reasons so many of us are struggling with our spirituality. So one of the reasons so many of us struggle to thrive is that we think, number one, we have to conform to what the world's expectations are of us. We have to look right, we have to act right, we have to participate right, we have to belong to the right church, we have to say the right things, we have to drive the right cars, we have to wear the right clothes, we have to have a certain body type, we have to have all of these things. And if we have all of these things, then the world will like us, and then the message that we have of the gospel will be acceptable to those around us. Colossians says, no. If you want to go deep, it's not about a complete makeover of who you are on the outside. Colossians says, the same way you came to faith in Christ is the way you go deep in Christ. And that is to go back every morning to that cross. Go back every morning to that broken body which the bread represents and the spilled blood which the cup represents of Jesus Christ. And going, today I choose You all over again. Not to be born again, but to be thriving. And so we think that we have to completely remanufacture ourselves. Okay, I've made a decision to now be in Christ, and I'm looking at some of these people around here, and this is how they've changed, and this is how they... And so I'm going to change to be like those people. No, no. The only changes we make is to be like Jesus. I think one of the other reasons we don't thrive is because we see all these people out there, and we see what these expectations are and how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to serve and, you know, all those kind of things. And we look around and we go, you know what, I'm going to really try hard to be like that. When my kids were little, and even now, we have this conversation from time to time. I tell them over and over and over again, look, I don't want you to grow up and be like me. I want you to grow up and be better than me. There is so much more to you than there ever was to me, and you understand yourself so much better than I ever did at your age. Don't be like me. Be the best you can be. And we think that we give our life to Christ and we find Jesus at that moment of salvation. We think, okay, now I have to start being like some of these famous Christians I know. Problem is, a lot of these famous Christians winds up disappointing you. History is littered with Christians who have risen through the ranks and then gone on to be glorious only to be undone by their own sin. There's an enigma in the Bible. The guy's name's David. The Bible says that David was a wonderful man, that David was a man that yearned after God's own heart. But the Bible also tells us that David was an adulterer and a cheat and a liar and a swindler and was lazy, and those are just a few of his attributes. Sounds quite the conundrum, doesn't it? How can you be a man after God's own heart but be all of those same things, all those terrible things? Well, David was just being David, and you're just going to be you. And you may be a man or a woman after God's own heart, but you may also be a liar and a cheat and a swindler and an adulterer and a scoundrel. You say, well, how do those things exist in the same body? Just because we have made a conscious choice to ask Jesus to come in, forgive us of our sin, past, present, and future, doesn't mean that you are going to stop sinning. What it means is that now when you do sin, there is an avenue for those sins to be forgiven. And so if you come to that place where you're alive in Christ, you don't have to completely change who you are in order to thrive in Christ. Matter of fact, Paul says the simplest thing you do is you go back to that place where you started the whole journey. And every morning you wake up and you just go back to Jesus. Here's what that looks like. You travel the same route every day, going somewhere. On that route, there are several stoplights. One day while you're traveling that route and going through your several stoplights, every single stoplight does not say stop, but every single stoplight happens to be green. You happen to catch every light on green. And so you're sitting there just all grins in your front seat, listening to Erwan, bopping along, clapping for Jesus, woo. And because you've caught every light on green, you decide you're going to have a conversation with him. Jesus, that was cool, man. Every light today on green. You have made my day. So like somehow Jesus magically came down and manipulated the lights for you. No. We have that conversation. Yes, it's a great thing. We caught every light on green, and we are so blessed today because that's happened. And Jesus, I want to say thank you. It was a great ride. Traffic wasn't too bad. Lights were all green. Music was good on the radio. Did you dig it, Jesus? I had a good time. Thank you for being here with me. Now, tomorrow you get up and you make the same trip. But tomorrow it's raining, and the traffic's bad, and you catch every light on red. Not once, but twice. And you're faced with exactly the same choice. Do I bring Jesus in and have Jesus involved in the conversation, or do I just sit there and stew about the stupid lights? I hate traffic engineers. I hate rain. I hate the city of Houston. I hate everything about the traffic. I hate everything about this car. I need a new car. Why can't I have a better job to have a better car? You know how to deteriorate. Or you can have Jesus in there and you can go, hey, taking us a little more time today. That's cool, man. It gives us a better opportunity for you and I to hang out. Good song on the radio, man. I appreciate the message. I was made to thrive. What does that mean? Help me understand, Jesus, what that means. And so you're sitting at the stoplights, and you're not worried about the stoplights. You're just carrying on a conversation with Jesus. Because when you got up that morning and the morning before, you made exactly the same decision. You went to the cross the first thing, and you said, Jesus, I'm back to the cross to declare my belief and my faith in what you did on that day. Not so that I can be born again today, but so that I can live like I'm born again today. And here's the amazing thing that happened. When you and I take Jesus along for the ride, and when you and I spend our day acknowledging him and recognizing him and asking him to look after us and asking him to help us look out for others and thanking him for the red lights and thanking him for the green lights and thanking him for the rain and thanking him for the sunshine and just engaging in him in conversation, the Bible says pray without ceasing, does it not? And what is prayer? Prayer is nothing but a conversation. And so Jesus is saying, look, when you wake up in the morning, just start this conversation with me back here at this place of the cross and reestablish your foundation and your anchor right there. And then as you go throughout your day, just talk to me from that place. Talk to me from that place. You know what begins to happen? Then Mission 40 doesn't become a program to you. Mission 40 becomes a lifestyle to you because you know that's what Jesus wants you to do. You know that's how he wants you to behave. then accepting the challenge to teach in Awana or to step up and teach a kindergarten class, which we so desperately need, doesn't become a burden, and it doesn't become, well, I guess if there's nobody else that'll do it, I will do it. No, because you have been in this moment and you live these moments and these days with Christ, it's not such an overwhelming responsibility. This is why we don't thrive. And I refer to it in your sermon notes as the cycle of spiritual frustration. We think we have to thrive by either becoming somebody else, or we think we have to thrive by doing a list of duties. But here's what happens when we live that way. First of all, we find ourselves being short. We'll hear a sermon and go, man, Pastor Kevin says that I really have the power to do more. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try harder. And we make that conscious choice. We're going to try harder. I'm going to be involved in more Bible studies. I'm going to read more passages of Scripture. I'm going to get up earlier in the morning and I'm going to kneel in my closet like the Bible says. And I'm going to pray for like hours at a time. And I'm going to develop this great spirituality around me. I'm going to find the armor of God and I'm going to put it on. And I'm going to walk around like a little stormtrooper for Jesus. And I'm just going to do everything Jesus wants me to do. Oh, and sin, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to really going to stop sinning now. And we make these resolutions and we set these lofty goals about how much Bible study we're going to do and, you know, all these kind of things. Or we make a commitment. You know what? If I just tried harder, if I just taught a class, or if I just participated in Awana, you know, then I would, the spiritual stuff would come in. And so we make this commitment that we're going to try harder. But there's this thing called life, right? And life does what life does. It punches you in the face. You have the boss, right, over here that just is unrelenting. You have spats with your spouse. You have children that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You have financial situations where you just scream in your soul at night, Lord, is the pressure ever going to be relieved? And then life comes on. And now on top of all of that, I'm having to try harder, because if I don't try harder, then I don't find any spiritual significance. And what happens when we try harder is that we get tired. We get tired because life is continually coming at us. Zoom, 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 zoom. And now I've self-imposed all this other Jesus stuff that I have to do. And so life's coming at me, zoom, 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 zoom. And Jesus is coming, yeah, 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 yeah. I got to do more Jesus stuff. And what happens is we're like, I can't keep this up. I'm worn out. I can't keep this up. And so we know we can't check out from life. And so the next step in the process is to just quit. Just quit. I want to try harder, but I've been trying harder and it just wears me out. And the phone rings. Pastor Kevin, I know I said I'd teach that little kindergarten class, but life just keeps coming at me and I have to quit. Christy, I know I told you I'd help out in Awana, but life just keeps coming at me, and so I have to quit. Jesus, I know I told you I was going to read 14 chapters a day and that I was going to kneel in prayer on little beds of rice, but I'm tired, and I just have to quit. I've been working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, getting up and trying to go to church and participate in church on Sunday. You know, Sunday's the only day I have for me. Sunday's the only day I have for my family. I have to quit. And so we do. We quit. We quit. And in a lot of cases, it just stops there. I quit. And we don't reengage the spiritual side of our journey, and we just fade off into the sunset. But for those who have some type of affinity and some type of connection to the church, they quit brings us to the fourth stage in the cycle. Then it inevitably comes back that they start to feel guilty. And here's how this plays out. I really let the people at my church down. I pretended to be this person that was going to be involved, and I pretended to be this person who was spiritually deep, and I really wanted them to believe in me, and then I quit, and now everybody's disappointed, and so I'm feeling guilty about that. I really can't stay at that church because I've exposed myself as just not being able to have any staying power. And the guilt begins to come, and they decide they have to move on to a different church. Sometimes they'll come back and they'll go, you know what, I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready. I'm, you know, I feel guilty. I didn't mean to leave you guys hanging. I didn't mean to leave the ministry hanging. I'm gonna come back. I'm going to get reengaged. And so they come back and they get reengaged, and what happens? Whether they stay here or whether they quit and go someplace else, same cycle. This time I'm really going to do it. This time I'm just going to dig my heels in and I'm going to really try harder. And you see how the cycle perpetuates itself. Some of you in this room today are in the middle of that cycle right this very minute. Some of you in this room today quit a long time ago and have decided, I'm just not going to reengage. Some of you in this room today have lost the ability to even feel guilty about it. Because Jesus isn't a thriving part of your walk. He's not a thriving part of your life. And the reason is because we think it's all about what we have to do. Hear me and hear me well. You did not get saved by trying harder. If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you got saved because of everything He did that day on that cross and then through the power of His resurrection at the empty tomb. You did nothing to get saved. But here's the good news. The exact same thing that brought you salvation, the exact same thing that you can't try harder to get, is true with growing roots. You don't grow roots by trying harder. You grow roots by doing what Jesus told Mary and Martha when He was teaching at their house. Jesus looked at Martha and He said, "Martha, you are distracted by many things," plural. Martha was trying harder. And you see the entire cycle of Martha right here. And then He says, Mary has chosen the better thing, singular. And the only thing Mary chose was Jesus. And Mary lived deep. Because being in Jesus' presence, acknowledging Jesus' presence, was the only thing that mattered to Mary. I will be the first to confess that at 51, I am just now beginning to understand glimpses of what I'm telling you this morning. But I'm convinced with all of my heart that it's been the greatest gift I have ever been given was when somebody began to help me understand this very concept that comes out in Colossians chapter 2. The same way you get Jesus is the same way you grow deep, and that is every morning going back to the cross. Not for salvation, but for sanctification. Sanctification is just a spiritual word or a big word for going deep. And every day you wake up and you, before your feet ever hit the floor, you make that choice. You visualize Jesus in your face and in your head. And you tell Him, "Jesus, today before my day starts, I make a conscious choice to go back to that moment where I put my belief and my faith and my trust in You. And I come today not for salvation again, but I come today for my roots to be tapped into the power source." You see, He's the vine, we're the branches. We don't suck life from Him, He pushes life through us. And trying harder is simply trying to suck life from Him instead of just being the branch and allowing the vine to push its life out through you.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about how you can apply this week's message to your life, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember, as you go, to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.